Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, Ahmed Farid, this is your Giants Insider Podcast debut, which is important, one, because it lets people know that we're not the same person,
right,
which I think we get, both of us get all the time. I got it from somebody in the press box the other day. They told me they loved the trade of me to the A's pregame show, and I said, you're not a very good reporter if you don't know the difference between me and Ahmed. But yeah, that I think that's probably the question we get the most.
I've just stopped correcting people when they call me Alex. Yeah. I just pretend I'm you at this point.
I just wave and go, all right, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate the kind words.
Yeah.
I wanted to chat with you. You do the pre and post game show and also a long time MLB Network baseball, all that. I want to chat with you about the trade deadline and just kind of wrap it up a little bit. It was quiet, but your first impression Monday at 1 o'clock or 1:01 p.m. when nothing happened.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we all thought, and I got to give you credit because we did a show middle of the month at the Fair Foul, and we talked about Cueto, and we all thought he'd get traded. You said, no, you didn't think he'd be traded, and he wasn't. And we saw Nunez, and Nunez was hurt. But you thought he would be traded, and the analyst said, no, the hamstrings are funny. So you were 2 for 2 on that.
Sean and Bill, I'm calling you out.
Yeah, those. Yeah. But you know what? I was a little surprised on like a guy like Nick Hundley. I thought there might be a contender out there that would value him because he's a guy that if your catcher goes down, he's started before, and I think he can do it. And defensively, he's been good this year. So that one surprised me. The other one's not as much. Just from hearing, you know, your reporting and different things on how they plan to try to compete next year and how their hands are kind of tied with some of the things they can do where they have no choice but to keep the band together. So I think all that combined, I wasn't totally surprised that they didn't just take a atom bomb and blow up the roster.
I thought they would. I thought Hundley, too, was a guy that we had talked about. And then you see Luke Roy go to Colorado for, I think, a player to be named later. And you realize it's just a brutal market. One thing that came about afterwards, kind of the research after the deadline, it was something like over the last 8 days, like 32 players were traded, and I think none of them had long-term deals or had money committed. It was just a weird market for guys. It was a lot of rentals. We saw that in the pitching market. I mean, Quintana was the big long-term guy to be traded, but if you're the Giants, you just don't really have those guys. They had Nunez, they had Johnny Cueto, who I think they would have tried to trade. Ultimately, that was kind of what I came down to at the end. I think they would have tried to do that, but Johnny was sidelined with a blister.
Yeah, you do have one ace with a pretty team-friendly contract, but they're not thinking about that.
That is the atom bomb that you mentioned earlier.
But, you know,
we'll get back to that, too.
I think that what this shows you is how that new CBA is affecting the way teams think, because baseball's never had a salary cap, but I think it's probably as close as to having one right now.
It basically does have,
we've ever seen with the punitive, you know, penalties for all the luxury tax and going up to it and going past it for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I think teams are going to sacrifice winning to stay under the tax. Because it's not like you can always say, you know, if we just spend $20 million more, we can win, or if we just spend $40 million more, we can win. You don't know that, you know, and no one wants to waste money. These teams, even if they have a lot of money, don't want to waste their money. And so unless you're certain that a certain player or piece will get you there, which you really can't be ever, I think a lot of teams are going to err on the side of staying under that luxury tax and that cap.
That's a good point. I've tried to explain this to people. You know, people say trade Belt and Cueto to New York. Just get it done. I've talked to people in New York who say they're going to try to get under the tax. They're the Yankees, and they're going to try to get under at some point as some of these bigger deals come off and they have young guys like Judge and, and Frazier, these guys, while they're still cheap, they're going to try to dip under because you reset your penalties. The Dodgers that have made it clear they would like to dip under at some point if they can. And the Giants, I talked to Brian Sabian and Larry Bear about this in spring training. They would like to at some point. So that is – they didn't imagine the season would go the way it is, but that's a complicating factor for them now where you think, well, maybe you can spend your way out of this a little bit. But they really can't because they've been in the tax, I think, 3 years in a row. And if you keep going, it hurts you more and more as you go.
Yeah, and I think that's the frustrating thing is you see some of the fans will tweet you. They tweet me. They tweet you as well. And they say – You got to trade like a guy like Denard Span. You just got to get rid of him. And then you go, well, what if they don't? Well, he should be a platoon player next year. Like, if you're thinking that, you know, every other team is thinking that. And so that's where it's difficult. It's that it's not like these guys suddenly would help a contending team. They're having a hard time helping one of the worst teams in baseball right now.
So, that's my favorite part of the trade deadline is, and really it's year-round. It's, I don't like this guy. I don't think this guy's very good on the team I root for. Trade him.
Yeah.
Somebody else come and get him. Somebody else will be involved with him. We'll get a top prospect for him. So I want to get your opinion on the next 2 months, the immediacy here of what we're going to see. You have to watch all the games. You have to. What would you like to see? What position wise, players out there in left and center and third base. What would you like to see?
I'd like to see a mix. I'm not in the camp of let's sit all the veterans and just let the young guys play. Although I do want to see them play, I'd like to see some of those veterans recoup some of their value. And I think that's really important for this team. I think it's super important that some of the guys who lost value, who have those big contracts, get that back. I think it'd be great to see Hunter Pence go on a stretch here. He's had a couple home runs now in the past 3 or 4 games. That's what I want to see. Yeah, of course I want to see some of the young guys. It's been fun watching what Gorky's has done since the end of May. I'd love to see Moncrief throw more.
You've been all over the Gorky's. You've tweeted that quite a bit. It's like 327 over his last 35 games or something.
Because I was one of the people that said, I don't know what they're doing still with you know what I mean? I was one that said, I think that they should probably cut ties with Gorky's.
I'll tell a story about that since we're – I like to give people a little bit extra, give them a reason to listen. So the beat writers asked somebody very important in the organization at some point about 2 months ago, seriously, what is going on here? And there were people in the organization who were – this guy we asked, he said kind of the same thing, I don't really know. So there were people after 6 weeks, in May at some point who were going, I don't understand how he's still on the roster. But they ran him out there, and he's been good.
Yeah. And do I wish that Gorky's was, 25 instead of 29? Yeah, of course. But it's been a great story, and I think he can be, a piece to a team next year. And so, I would like to see the young guys as much as we can. Unfortunately, with Beattie hurt and Arroyo hurt and Slater hurt, I would like to see them. I understand if they don't call up Shaw just because they don't have to put him on the 40-man, and I get that as a business decision. But just see what they have, but also have a lot of the veterans recoup their value and see them. I'd love to see Brandon Crawford go on fire the last 2 months here.
He's been better in the second half. Yep. I think we've seen better signs. Ryder Jones is a guy that I think won for 21 when he was up here, but the numbers in AAA are so flipped from that, and not just before his call-up, but after his call-up has been even better, and that's a guy to me who can play all over the field. You get him up here, you can find 4 or 5 starts a week for him. I know he felt like he wasn't quite himself personality-wise when he was here the first time and never really let loose. So that's somebody in the next – they've said it doesn't necessarily have to be a September thing. So that's a guy I'd like to see in August. And just, look, he can play left, right, first, third. So you can get quite a few at-bats for him.
And I'm getting intrigued by Suarez, Andrew Suarez, too. He's gone through a stretch of – 7 or 8 starts in a row now where
2.79
and striking out a batter per inning, I think, too, which is I don't think he's a strikeout guy, but that's promising to see that. So I'm intrigued by him.
He's in that Chris Shaw boat too, unfortunately for him. Doesn't have to be put on the 40 man, but it would be nice if he keeps us going for 3 more weeks. We talk about September starters and what they'll do with Kane, and I have my doubts about Cueto and how soon we'll see him back, or if we will see him back, just given he felt a pinch in his arm the other day. They're 34 and a half foot, somewhere around their back. So that one, I think you can kind of add it up there. But Suarez is an interesting guy, and especially going forward.
Cueto, it seems like that would have to come from him, right? Because I don't see the Giants at this point pushing him. There's not, no.
No, and obviously he has big decisions to make about his future, which seemed to be made for him at this point, but hasn't officially made it yet. So that would have to be a discussion.
Which,
where he,
honestly, if Johnny Cueto's back on this team next year, that's a positive. I think that's a big positive that you've had for this Giants team, because you feel like he's not going to have a repeat of this year. The injuries, the spring training, the blisters, and then the forearm. And so I think that is a positive development in a weird way, right? Johnny Cueto coming out of a start with forearm tightness
getting
in
hurt,
San Jose is a positive development for the Giants.
No, and you know, if they talk about, and they have talked about contending next year, I mean, that's the plan. So no matter what you might think of it, that is the plan. And the best way to do that is to have Madison Bumgarner and Johnny Cueto at the top of your rotation.
Right. And then you got Ty Block, who's looking like he should be definitely part of that.
Will be part of that. Mix.
So, I mean, again, on paper, like it was this year, you look at the starting rotation, you say, yeah, that's a strength.
It looked so good in March.
I know.
It made so much sense, and then nothing else. Your bigger picture thoughts, do you think they should rebuild right now, or do you think they should run it back like it seems like they will?
I think they can't right now, whether they even want to or not. You know what I mean? I don't even know if it's – I feel like they couldn't. If they wanted to – if they said we have to rebuild right now and they got the mandate from management, like we have to just change the roster and rebuild, I think it would set them back, because I don't think you'd get enough – pieces to be competitive after that rebuild. So I think you have to wait at this point. Having said that, I think if they're in the same spot next year where they're, you know, 30 games below 500 or 25 games or even 15 games below 500, then I think you have to really seriously think about it and think, oh, where are we headed? Where are we going to be next year and the year after that? And at that point, I do think you have to put every name on the table, as hard as that would be, and as much capital as all these guys have built up with winning the three championships and in 5 years, I think you have you owe it to yourself, your ownership, your fans, just to listen and entertain any trade at that point.
So we've mentioned this a little bit on the pre and post. I've written it a little bit. They say they have three untouchables. I think they have two. I think Buster Posey's going to spend his whole career here. That's just the way that his Derek Jeter here is going to spend his whole career here. And he has the value that he can wait out a rebuild and still be, I think, a pretty valuable player if they get going in 3-4 years. Brandon Crawford, I think, being a Bay Area kid, the fact that he did negotiate a full no trade in his contract, and that was pretty important to him and probably brought that dollar value down a little bit, but that was important to him. He has three kids here. I can't imagine him wanting to go somewhere else given the success it's had and the fact that he's here. But that brings up the third guy who's on that supposed untouchable list. Madison Bumgarner is also your Chris Sale piece, your Quintana piece, if you decide that at some point you have to blow this up. So I don't think that's a this offseason discussion, but I think, like you said, if they're far out at the deadline next year and he is continuing to pitch the way he has, that's a, you know, the biggest piece on any market, especially for contenders. You know what he can do in October. And then the offseason after that, I mean, he has 2 years after this where he's locked up. So that is a discussion that is kind of the transformational, we have to blow this up piece.
Right, and he's a guy who, I mean, because you're making these deals, I think what we saw from teams this year is that you're not going to trade for a 3 or 4 starter. You'd rather get a bullpen guy, because you know those guys are going to help you in the postseason. And so I think Bumgarner obviously is that ace and one of the greatest postseason pitchers of Major League Baseball history. But you're going to get a number one, a top 10 prospect, and you're going to get probably a number 3 prospect in your organization, or a number 4. You're going to get 3 top 5 prospects for Madison. And, I mean, I don't know. We've talked about this, and I don't know that anyone knows where this is going to go. But the loyalty, he has an opportunity to be a free agent, and we don't know how important that is to him to get out on the market and
see
what
his
value is.
I haven't talked about this. I would guess, given the contract he signed, that it will be pretty important to him
to
take that shot.
And at that point, anything can happen, right? I mean, at that point, you might be sitting with the Giants and say, you know, it's not worth it, which they may or may not, but you get to free agency and you don't know what's going to happen there. And then you run into the danger of losing him for nothing. I don't know how likely that is, but it's definitely part of the calculus for this whole discussion. So if you think it's not a guarantee that he's coming back, if it's not 100% guaranteed, then you have to at least entertain the thought. And that's the one way that you can remake the farm system and get some chips that will be there when you start competing again.
We did a nice job of freaking people out here after the deadline. Hey, Andres Suarez walking by. So that's always fun. You're doing the one thing I really like that we do on the pre and post is I forgot what you call it. Is it Professor Fareed or Ahmed's Classroom?
Ahmed's Classroom.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So what's one thing you've done recently that surprised you? One thing you really dig into the advanced metrics there. Anything that stood out?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this thing on Baseball Savant called ex-WOBA. And we're going to get real wonky.
I thought you were
going to
go to Sprint Speed. But
no,
go
Sprint
ahead.
Speed was surprising to us. I like that Hunter Pence is the same this year as he was in 2015,
surprising.
Which I really liked watching that. But there's this thing called ex-WOBA. WOBA is basically kind of like a better batting average or on-base percentage or better slugging percentage. It kind of values what you do at the plate. It values singles correctly, doubles correctly. So WOBA is a really interesting stat because I think it encapsulates what a batter does at the plate. Then you have ex-WOBA, which is expected WOBA, which takes into account how hard you're hitting it and the launch angle at which you're hitting it. So it says expected in normal park circumstances and everything being equal, this is what you should have for your average. Brandon Belt rates very well in that. I was looking at 177 qualified batters. Brandon Belt was number 31 in expected WOBA, ahead of right there with Buster Posey, ahead of guys like Cody Bellinger. When you talk about what he does in getting on base and walks and the contact that he makes that does not get rewarded at AT&T Park, he's still a premier, even in a down year for him, he's still a premier offensive player. And on the other side, pitching, Jeff Samardzija, he's been top 10 in that basically all
it's
season
crazy
long.
With his strikeouts and his...
Yep, he'll just give up the home runs, you know, obviously, and that's happening, and so that's a ding. But he's an elite pitcher, which is why I think there would be any number of teams that would take his contract right now. I mean, the people say, oh, he's got a big contract too. I don't think it's big relative to what he does in his performance on the field.
You always have to look at the ballpark with him, and nobody ever does, but always have to look at the ballpark.
Right.
The two that you mentioned quite a bit that I think are easier for people, and I'm glad we're doing this, is one, the launch angle, which is just easy, and the Giants are trying to change that with some of their people, because it is, we've seen that from Murphy, we've seen it from JD Martinez, guys who just say, look, get more balls in the air. So they're trying to identify guys in their system, in their current roster, who they can tweak a little bit. And then, like I said, the sprint speed is just a fun one. I think it just shows I forgot who was...
The fact that
Gorky's the fastest?
Yeah, Gorky's and Austin Slater were both
Austin
up there.
Slater was surprisingly high.
And Mac Williamson didn't have enough, but last year he was right up there with him as well. And that the fact that Ty Block is as fast as Jeff Samardzija around the bases, which I thought... was very
pitcher sprint speed. That's where we're really getting deep.
And Madison was on the lower end of the spectrum there.
Not
was,
surprising.
Yeah, more of a power.
I took those numbers around the clubhouse a few weeks ago, and Joe Panic was ahead of the Brandons. And Brandon Belt's response was, "There's no way on God's green earth that Joe Panic is faster than I am."
Yeah.
So, but the metrics maybe don't back that up.
Right.
So
you know, but what I find interesting, you mentioned like the ground ball thing, and it was interesting because you looked at the launch angle of some of the guys who were getting called up, and Christian Arroyo in specific, he was hitting the ball on the ground a ton. But when he did elevate it, he was doing as good a damage as anyone on the Giants.
Yeah.
So it was like you could see, okay, there's the glimmer, there's the promise for that kid.
There's the guy maybe you can tweak a little bit.
It's like, okay, you're hitting the ball on the ground. When you do that, things aren't happening, but the times you do hit it in the air, you're outperforming everyone else on the team. So that was fun. When Mac came up, he was hitting the ball on the ground too. His launch angle was negative. Austin Slater too was another guy who was getting some negative launch angle. And so it was interesting that a lot of the guys coming up you saw in the same boat, and they all eventually kind of got sent down at the same time. So that those little nuggets, it doesn't tell the whole story, but it tells you enough to kind of keep you interested and keep you looking for more.
I think people think underestimate what the Giants look at in terms of that. They've been trying to get Mac to lift the ball for years, so that is something they're paying attention. I know right now they're looking at the guys. Crawford is a guy they've kind of identified as maybe can get a little bit more lift. So that is something that is always fun on the pregame show. Ahmed, thank you for taking the time. As always, pregame, postgame, a full hour now. You guys are doing your best to do it in a down season.
The full hour. We're getting through the full hour, which we're going to do, and I was just thinking of this. Ahmed or Alex? We just put us two. We stand next to each other. We go around Willie Mays Plaza, and they go, which one's Ahmed, which one's Alex?
This has a man on the street written all over it. We're going to have to fill September time at some point.
Or which one's Dave Feldman, and we'll have him in there, too.
That would be pretty easy. All right, wrapping up the trade deadline. We'll do this again and talk about other things. Send questions sometimes. We'll answer those, too. So Thanks, Ahmed.
Yeah, no problem, Alex.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.